Hey there, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Bible in Life podcast. My name is John Whitaker. I am the host and creator of the Bible in Life, and I am grateful for you, and I'm grateful that we have this opportunity through the internet and through the resources of today to be able to study the Bible together like this. And so, welcome. Glad you're here. My heart, my goal through the teachings I offer on the Bible Life is just to help us think through the scriptures in such a way that we can actually put them into practice right in the midst of our life. I like to call it blue jeans theology. And what I mean by that is theology in the language of everyday life, discussing the situations of everyday life, so that we can follow Jesus right in the midst of our everyday life. So that's what we're all about. And if you are a regular listener, man, I'm so glad you're a part of the Bible and Life family. If you're a first-time listener, thanks for being here. And I hope you find this valuable and helpful. We have covered a whole host of things on the Bible and Life over the last 5 or so years. Things about what it looks like to live as a disciple, how to become a disciple, how to make disciples. We've talked about things about the values of Christ and all that. And our current series is a series really on what does it mean to be a Christian engaged in politics in whatever country we find us, particularly for me, the United States of America. This series is actually motivated by a writing project I'm working on with a friend of mine, hoping to release here in the next few months, a book dealing with really providing some guidelines, if you will, for us as disciples. How can we engage in the American political process, since we're in another election year, in such a way that we honor Jesus and honor what it means for us to be Christians in our own country? And so we talked about on the last episode, who are we really? Like, do we really know who we're called to be by God? Are we supposed to be Americans who just happen to be Christians, or are we fundamentally Christians, disciples of Jesus, shaped by his kingdom, who happen to just find ourselves living in America, or Canada, or the UK, or Australia, or wherever we live? What is our fundamental identity? And so we wrestled with that on last week's episode, and we talked about how that we really have like dual citizenship. Like, we are, yes, citizens of whatever country we live in, but first and foremost, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We're citizens of heaven itself, and the culture of that kingdom has to shape us and shine out through us into the world. That's who we are, that God called us to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, a nation within the nation in which we find ourselves. So we talked about that last week. On this week's episode, I want to sort of pick up at that point and help us think through that in so many ways, the culture of the kingdom of heaven is unique and stands out in our world. And sometimes we don't realize that. If we don't know our history, if we're not familiar with the world that the church was born into, if we don't know ancient history, we just take for granted so many values and virtues that are distinctly Christian, that entered into the world through the mission of Jesus' people all throughout the world for the development of Western civilization that was motivated by the church. And we can miss that. The reality is Christianity emerged in a world vastly different from the values of those espoused by followers of Christ. Like in the world of the Greco-Roman Empire, when Christianity first arrived on the scene, slavery was assumed as a necessary part of a functioning society. You couldn't conceive of society without it. It wasn't a racial thing. It was an equal opportunity thing. Slaves were all kinds of people from all different backgrounds for all different reasons, born into it, captured into it, bankrupted into it, right? And slaves could be thought of or described by, for example, Aristotle, several hundred years before Jesus, as living property and tools. This was just part of the world. An adulterous wife in the Greco-Roman world was a disgrace to be dealt with in the harshest of terms. But men? Well, men were free. In fact, they were even almost expected to have numerous sexual partners, and there was various ways that was conceived to play out. I mean, that was just assumed. You just did that, right? Infants were routinely abandoned and left out into the woods to die because, well, we don't have room for them. We don't need another girl, whatever it is, right? Just routinely left to die. Care for the poor, the weak, and the marginalized? We take that for granted, but that was laughable in the first century world. It was contrary to all good sense. And then the entire Christian story of a God, Jesus, who would sacrifice himself for others by dying the most disgraceful, horrendous death known at that time, death on a cross. A God like that could be pictured as a jackass on a cross. You can actually look up the Alexamenos graffiti from Rome, where it has this guy named Alexamenos worshiping his God, is what it says. And it's a crucifixion victim with a donkey's head. Like, this was the world into which Christianity was born. And yet, as Christianity spread, the values of Christ spread and transformed the Roman Empire. And those values have become things, whether we know it or not, we just take them for granted as good and right. We just assume, yeah, of course, that's good and right. But they weren't assumed to be that before Jesus and his gospel entered into the world. Now, to be fair, Jesus' people, the church, has not always lived up to the values that she espouses, right? The church has not always done that. The church has also participated in some pretty awful things. Nevertheless, over the course of history, the values of the Christian faith have brought incredibly great good to the world and to our society. And our society today needs Christians to bring these values into the world still. A lot of those values are seeming to fade into the background as the beliefs undergirding them have faded. And the world desperately needs us to really bring those values into the world now. So I want to just highlight a few, and I have two goals for highlighting a few of these values. And so let me state those goals so you know where we're going. But one of those goals is these kinds of values ought to be the kinds of values and virtues that guide us at the ballot box when we vote for candidates. We have to vote for candidates that are in line with our values as best as possible. We're in a mixed up world, right? You're never going to have a party or a candidate who embodies all of them, but we need some guidance if we're going to be followers of Jesus. And it's got to be values in sync with Jesus and his kingdom that guide us. So that's one objective. We got to think through these values for the sake of what's going to guide us at the ballot box. And also, we need to think through these values because it has to be these kinds of values and virtues that guide the manner in which we interact with people about our political differences and our different beliefs. If we are trying to promote the values of Jesus, but doing so in ways contrary to those very values, that will never work. And so I want to highlight these values because those twin objectives. We've got to be guided by these values at the ballot box, and we have to act according to these values in the things we post, the way we talk, the way we do political engagement. So here are a few of the values that are distinctly Christian, that changed the world, and that we take for granted now, and yet the world prior to Christ did not take for granted. One of those values is just truth. The Christian faith teaches that there is real truth about the world, including moral truth, that it can be known, and that it's rooted in God and in who we humans are made to be as God's image bearers, right? This truth provides guidelines and guardrails for human flourishing, and that's why it's so important. And so to reject that truth does great harm to human well-being. And our society desperately needs to know that there is truth for life, not angry truth, not arrogant truth, but truth that's really rooted in the way they are designed to function and operate, that's rooted in the way the world really is, truth that's in sync with what it means to be human and the way the human machine is designed to operate. They need to know that, and we need to help people acquire that. When we lose that truth, when we lose the concept of that kind of truth in general, which is where we're at, when we lose that truth, all that remains to govern society is power and feelings. And in a lot of ways, that's where our society has devolved to. Those with the most power, those that can be the most persuasive, those that can stir up certain feelings, right? Or my own subjective feelings and my opinions are better than yours. And it just becomes power and feelings. And that's in a lot of ways where we're at. in the absence of truth, that's what it devolves to. So we desperately need to know the truth and to bring the truth to bear in the world today. It's one value. Another value that I think is really important is just human worth and dignity. That, again, we assume this. We take this almost for granted. And yet, prior to the coming of Jesus, only the Jews had a strong sense of human worth and dignity. The Roman world did not. The Greek world did not, right? You discarded people you didn't want. That's why infants could be left out to die. That's why handicapped persons could be just abandoned and left out to die, right? There was something odd about them, unless you were in some culture that viewed them as somehow maybe sacred because of that, right? But a strong sense of human worth and dignity didn't have that. But for Christians, it's rooted in the creation account in Genesis. All people are made in the image of God, and thus they have worth and dignity simply because of that. And if you check out history, this led Christians to rescue abandoned infants. This led Christians to risk their lives to care for the sick with the plague. There are all sorts of accounts of that in throughout history, of the only ones dealing with people, plague-ridden cities, were the Christians going in there at the cost of their own life. Why? Because they didn't fear death, and they knew people needed to be cared for. It led Christians to start hospitals, provide homes for orphans, to help the infirm and the disabled. It led Christians to contend for the abolition of slavery, to argue that all people are created equal, and to fight for human rights. These are things that we tend to take for granted, and they're distinctly Christian values and virtues that grow out of the Christian worldview. The Western civilization that grew up with a sense of human rights and human dignity all grew out of the idea, the Christian idea, that people are made in the image of God. We need to recapture that and bring that to bear in our world today. Desperately needs to know that. Care for the poor and the lonely, another value and virtue that Christianity brought into the world because of what they believed about human rights and human dignity. It led them to care for the poor, the lowly, and the marginalized, right? To provide education for those with no access for it, to help the powerless, to elevate the status of women and children, to feed the hungry. All these kinds of things have been well known throughout the history of the Western world because of the values of Christianity. Another one that's really important is the meaning of marriage and the nature of sexuality. The historic Christian vision for marriage and sexuality has protected women. It's taught men to practice loyal covenant love. These things have been good for children to grow up in homes where that was the case. It elevated the value and the status of children, provided a secure environment for them to be nurtured in. In fact, if you just stop and think about it, if everybody actually practiced the historic Christian vision for marriage and sexuality, everyone practiced that, there would be no rape, no sexual harassment, no divorces due to infidelity, no pedophilia, no pornography, sex trafficking would be gone, right? A whole another number of societal evils connected to sex, totally eliminated. If we simply did what Jesus taught us to do with marriage and sexuality, our world desperately needs the historic Christian vision for marriage and sexuality for human well-being and human flourishing. Another value that's been really important for the Christian faith, and that's been good for the world, is just generosity. Again, we take this for granted, that it's just good to give to needy people. But that is, again, a distinctly Christian value that wasn't taken for granted until Christianity changed the world. According to one research organization, nonprofit source, Americans, just the people in America, give over $450 billion to charity annually. Why is that? Well, because deep in our cultural consciousness lies the notion that giving to meet the needs of others is good. But that idea actually stems from the influence of Christ and Christianity in the world. Generosity is one of the core values of the Christian faith, and it's motivated by and patterned after what God has done for us in Jesus. So Christians should be givers like God is a giver. Justice. Another great good that the Christian faith brings into the world is that all people ought to be treated fairly and rightly. Since they're all made in God's image and all have dignity and worth, there should be no double standards, right? No double standards. One for those with money and power and those another standard for those without it, right? Like the law must be applied fairly and equitably to all people across the board. Forgiveness, another distinctly Christian virtue, right? That Christianity uniquely brought into the world a practice of forgiveness when wrong. Jesus taught us to forgive no matter how many times we've been wrong, modeled it on the cross by asking God to forgive those who killed him. And in offering himself, he forgave us as well. And therefore, we as followers of Jesus, we love our enemies and we forgive those who wrong us. And we need to bring that into the world right now at this time. Hope. Hope is, a Christian value. The history is going somewhere, that there's a glorious destiny for the world and for humanity. And hope is in short supply among many people in our society. Christianity promises it. It promises us a good, glorious destiny for human beings, which gives meaning to our lives, purpose to our sufferings, motivation for right living. Now, let me just highlight one last one, and it's at the heart of all of these, and that's love. At the heart of almost all Christian virtues and values is the virtue of self-giving love, the kind of love patterned after Jesus on the cross. Jesus' own self-sacrifice shows us what it looks like to love one another. Now, these kinds of values, it's not all of them, it's just a handful of them. It gives us an idea of the kinds of things that oftentimes as a culture, my culture takes that for granted. We for so long, we've just taken like, oh yeah, of course there should be justice. Of course we should forgive those who are wrong, right? Of course we should love one another. We don't often know exactly what those means because we've lost the roots. We've, you know, cut it off at the roots and we don't know what those means. And so now we're redefining terms and all of that. There's confusion. But we take those values for granted and have done so for a long time. What we often fail to recognize is that those values grew out of the preaching of the gospel and the teachings of Christ. And it transformed the world to such an extent that these things that used to not be considered good are now considered good. And for a long time in America, there was an overlap between the values of the USA and the values of the kingdom of God. And that overlap beguiled us into thinking that we were a Christian nation, quote unquote, right? Christians assumed we belonged here and that we had a right to expect everyone to accept our ideas and our values and that we should be treated a certain way. Some even went so far as to contend that with just enough lobbyist pressure and the right candidates in office, man, the USA could sort of become like a Christian utopia. Others just withdrew from the whole process, right? The reality is, I don't think that's the way to think about it. These are kingdom values, values of the kingdom of God. And our job, as we said in our last episode, is to be salt and light. Our job is to display the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into light, whether we have political power or not. Political power isn't the key thing. These values changed the world. And as that transformation got started, zero political power. They were a minority within an anti-Christian world, and not just anti-Christian world, but a world that had values almost polar opposite in so many areas to these kinds of values, and yet they transformed the world. So having political power is not what we need. What we need is to be that counterculture, to be the kind of people who embody these kinds of values. And so, when we go to the ballot box, these kinds of values should influence us. They should shape us. We want to try, again, we're living in a conflicted world, right, where evil affects all of us, where falsehood and lies, misunderstanding and confusion affects all of us. We want to do our best to try to pick candidates who, more often than not, embody these kinds of values, if at all possible. They may not get them all right, but they have a lot of them. We at least want that to guide us at the ballot box. But what's even more important is that in our life together, in the way we treat our neighbor, at the level of our neighborhoods and our local politics, at the level of the way we care for the poor, we should stand out as unique and distinct and good for the world. And if we could do that, even in the way we engage politically, in the political process, if we could actually live according to the values of Jesus with grace, humility, forgiveness, kindness, truth, right? We look for justice and generosity, all these sorts of things we've talked about. When we look at those kinds of things, if we could just embody those in the way we're going to go through another election year, man, that would be a huge win for disciples of Jesus. We may not always see everything exactly the same way. We may not always get what we want out of the election process, but in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we display the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness and into His wonderful light in both how we talk, how we engage, what we do, what we promote, what's really important. May we be people who really are citizens of heaven, embodying the culture of heaven right now in the here and now. All right, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Bible and Life podcast. Pray it's helpful to you and to me as we just think through what does it look like to be people, really foreigners in our own land, engaging in this kind of process. So thanks a ton. I pray for you this week that you may walk with Jesus and display His wisdom and His beauty into your family, into your neighborhood, into your friends on a regular basis. God bless you. I look forward to talking with you again next week.